Hello world, this is John Laws. Look, coming at you live from Sydney, all across this great New South Wales, used to be on all of Australia, and a lot of work with Valvoline, you know what I mean.
That was excuse me.
Oh no. Norman, is that the Norman on the line?
Yeah, listen, I'm back again, and I have to tell you, I've seen photos with you and Carl Sandilands. Bloody on a yacht, living it up while the rest of... And I have to say, Australia thinks it's a disgrace, mate.
Australia thinks it's a disgrace. You mean you think it's a disgrace, Norman? You think it's a bad idea for people to have friends because you don't have any?
I've got plenty of mates, mate.
Why are you constantly ringing up? Do you have any social connections at all, Norman?
No, you're a bloody millionaire. You're bloody gallivanting around Sydney, around the eastern suburbs. And, you know, you leave the rest of... You say you're the workman's champion. You leave us in the dark.
I never said anything of the sort, Norman. I just connect to them and I can sell them products.
No.
And you're the only one that has a problem with it, Norman. I'm just here running a business.
No.
And you come up here trying to...
No, listen.
Make it some sort of crime. The only crime, Norman, is your petty, envious little man.
No, it's not a crime. You go around saying on Australia Day, you're walking around with the pollies, and the rest of us know it's just ridiculous, mate. No one cares. Your show's done. Your show's over. Your show's done.
The show's over.
I hate this show.
It's been on for 60 years, Norman. It doesn't matter if you're on it or not.
60 years? What is 60 in terms of the grand scheme of things? I mean, the universe...
No, don't get philosophical on me, Norman, you stupid little... pea-brained little man trying to understand the physics of the universe now, are you? It's far beyond your paycheck, Norman.
No.
Just saying no into the microphone. You still there, Norman? Oh, listen, here he goes.
No, listen, honestly, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. And our tax dollars are paying for your station... You're paying for your station and your...
Dollars are paying for my station. This isn't the ABC, Norman.
Well, with their content, it might as well be, John. Their content, it might as well be,
What are you a fan of, Norman? You just ring up and spout your negative, envious little claptrap every couple of days now, it seems. Do you have an addiction to this show, Norman?
No, I'm not addicted. I like cold chisel, sausage rolls... But I hate you.
Oh, yes.
But I
doesn't
hate...
like a sausage roll.
But I hate you, John.
We did it. No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Talkback Radio, which will eventually be Jordan and Miss Love's future anyway. So here's a bit of teaser for the next 30 years of your life.
Is
there a sound coming in?
We said you played both the videos. We said that we weren't going to do that. And then as soon as, like a carrot to a donkey, I just took it. I can't hear. It's like the amazing duo of our time. I can't hear one of them start talking without the other. It's like Bert and Ernie, you know. I couldn't let John talk on his own without.
Excuse me.
Especially.
Excuse me. This is you're a disgrace.
Especially when one of them just said no.
I was just copying what he does. He literally was like no.
Dude,
no.
Okay. Newsflash. That's what a lot of Australians do.
I know.
No. It's almost like those fucking seagulls. Literally.
Human seagulls.
No. It's fries, cheapies.
I mean, me and Jordan have just been infatuated with the man with the golden microphone. It's probably just going to get worse before it gets better. Just this podcast.
It has been all I have been listening to for the past 3 days. And how pathetic is this? I've been in other cities where I could be.
He's on tour, boys and girls.
Touring the CBDs and the museums of these places, but instead I've just been listening to.
Sound coming up, boys. Don't
worry. Well, it's not working, but you know what I was going to click on.
You're using the wrong computer, I'm pretty sure.
No. Welcome to the extremely unreliable world. Yeah. Sorry, we are back in the studio. I can't think of a better company than Dell.
Oh man.
We are coming to you live from FBI.
It's like going
Thank you very
into
much,
a,
FBI.
A warm
it's snuck
like,
in.
It's like going into your grandma's house. You know, it's warm and inviting, but there's something just a little bit off. something a bit weird about it, and you can't put your finger on it.
It's impending death. We all know it.
Wait, whose?
Both Grandma and FDR.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's not their fault. It's just the funding's getting cut back. And what? It's showing.
It's getting. How do you know it's been getting cut back? I thought it wasn't government funded.
Community radio.
No, they're all government funded.
Oh, I thought
they?
It was like purely on like charity this place existed.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
It may as well be at this point.
Damn. I mean, come on.
Damn.
Speaking of, the fact that this is a piece of history, this is a mixer from 2UE that we're using.
No, how did you know?
Are it was originally sure? formatted for AM radio. They've switched it to FM. That's what they've got in
we
the
can manage that.
Studios.
Yeah, there's this situation in the bottom part of the spectorial perspective in terms of southern logistic economics is reasonably significant.
Mislav, you are giving AM radio way too much credit.
Exactly. That was actually... Like, I was interested in what was coming next. I don't think anyone's ever been interested on AM radio as what's coming next.
How much is AM radio just like... Yeah, it is terrible.
Yeah, it's always just like, you're listening to Winding Down the Life Clock with John Laws. That's what everyone's doing.
You've got to kill time?
Yeah, it's just...
It's just complaining. It's just complaining.
Show should be called God's Waiting Room, and then Winding Down the Clock is the morning show.
Yeah.
Yes, complain AM. It's just like, it's really bad investigative journalism, where it's basically, Bart's people. You know, like, some say the ducks are gone. Some say the ducks moved over there.
Yeah, it's investigative journalism where you just employ people that have no job at all to ring up and do the journalism for you, and then you have an opinion on that journalism.
But so isn't that bad. Like all journalism now?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, I'll take it the AM talk.
Everyone's
back
just giving their opinions. Dude, that's what
is.
We fucking
journalism
do as well.
Is, that's true. Yeah,
that's
but
what I was saying. AM Talkback Radio was so ahead of its time. To shock jocks on AM radio were the original trolls.
That's
they?
So true.
Oh my god.
Isn't that amazing that they were
mind
here?
Blown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what Pepe the Frog was in the 50s. How good is that? Just saying things to outrage people so they'd ring up and then they'd sit there with that Pepe, you may.
Avant-garde as fuck.
I love Pepe.
Why is my mum in the studio?
What?
Poking her tongue out like a Maori warrior.
Her mom's in the
and
studio.
And she's doing a wog dance.
Dancing.
Is she going to come in? I think she's going to come in.
I think she's coming in.
Awesome. What's your mum's name again?
What's your mum, would you like to enter?
What's
come
your,
in. Come in, mum.
Wait, what's your mum's name
yes,
again?
Yes, come in. Come in.
I forgot.
She's coming in. That's so classically mum. She just looked at us and went, no, I can't. Now she's... yeah, there we go. Right on cue.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio, Jordan's mum. Jordan's mum. You are live.
Hello. Come to the microphone.
Yeah, speaking of the microphone.
Oh,
great. Did you go? I'm just going to pretend we're not recording. Did you go to the shows with Jordan? Did you travel?
No, I didn't get to travel.
Rule one of radio, mum, talking to the
This is like 4D. This is breaking the fourth wall.
My ears.
That is two different things.
Same.
My ears are still bleeding. From a week of John Law's impersonations.
I told you! That's how obsessed we are! We're still talking about it now!
We just did another one!
Well, that would have been worthwhile listening to, except I can hear nothing but Jordan's voice doing it.
So he's just as annoying to his parents as his
very
friends,
annoying.
Eh?
I've had to live through many incarnations, but
wow,
John Laws is probably the worst.
Why do you hate Lawsy so much, Mum?
Right now,
this is such a mum thing to do, just like outrageous, but also like tears of laughter in her eyes. You love Lawsy. You're exactly the same as Norman, where he's just there going, Norman, admit it. You love me. You love me, Norman. You listen to me every day. I don't love you. I hate you, John. That's you. You're just a female Norman.
No. I can't be that because Miss Lav has that role, so I'm just trying to listen to you as you come and ring me up with all these...
Such a weak justification.
Yeah, you know what? That's very kind of you. I don't think I do enough... I barely say I do justice to the genius that is Norman.
No.
I haven't...
Very well.
Thank you. I need to do more hard yards, more... I don't know, more fist fights, more 420s pies, but I do share a kinship with him. I feel like a connection. But
you know that he brags in the country town pub that he lives in that John Laws is scared of him? Despite the fact that he lets him on every single time.
Please say he's from Clunes.
I don't know where's that?
Rural Victoria.
I don't... No, he'd have to be in New South Wales. So he's
in New South Wales?
No, it's Victoria.
There's another Clunes in New South Wales near Lismore.
Wow, why are we talking about Clunes? There's two Clunes.
Nobody's ever heard of this place.
New segment. Clunes Clues. Yeah. That's interesting. Can we just... This is... I think you should come on every time. This is way more interesting than the claptrap we usually babble on about. Yeah, I like interesting...
Clunes. What, that there's two Clunes?
Yes. So what have you been up to?
How
you
would it be to get George Clooney as the mascot of one of the Clunes?
How much money would he need? He'd need half our budget. He'd need all our budget. The Australian, like, government's budget.
What?
Money from the budget.
Worth $300 billion a year.
This is the problem with our generation. I don't look anything up. I presumed our budget was way smaller than that. I thought it was 60 mil.
But why else too much money?
Why are they complaining about it so much then? Fuck,
if I had 60 million, I'd be set for life.
Can't be that hard. But yeah, what's been happening?
Well, I've just been driving round and round the block because looking for my phone first through that car and then deciding to drive around and think, well, I'll just have a look at how Redfern and Alexandria is unfolding. And
that's right, because you know that movie Dangerous Minds with that teacher that comes in and they're all just like, I don't want to learn how to read.
Yeah.
Reading's cool.
I know what you're going to say. Your mum did that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, but they've taken away my mural that I painted. I was very upset. I went and had a look at the school wall thing and they put a brick wall over the mural. I was very sad.
Oh, that's brutal.
Why did they do that? Security reasons. They'll use the paint.
You know what?
The budget's only 60 million. Come on. Cut them some slack.
It's bloody urban development. That's why.
I was going to say gentrification.
Yeah. It's a lot of bollocks, if I may say so.
All of these restaurants and it's just incredibly different to when I was last year and you can't find a park.
It's going
to
be, you know, it's going to be the rest of the world soon.
That's right.
It's a lot of bollocks.
It's very strange.
It is. Has it changed?
None of the colourful characters.
Really?
Oh, no, they're still there.
I think they're just
I
at
feel like
pubs
that
right
time
now.
That Miss Love was talking about, I can't remember what, but this total junkie of a man, three teeth max, and he had this extremely dirty parrot on his...
A street parrot, yeah. Like a
so weird, and, wasn't it?
But
homeless pirate.
But
that's right. No, the guy who was like,
no, but he was dropping,
giving us lessons on secular Australia.
He was dropping profound stuff.
Yeah, he was. He was smart. He had a parrot, but
so basically, these characters are still around, but they've been whittled down to like just the hardcore alcoholic stage. So all the other fringe, like I think, somewhat like more. Sort of able to contribute to society have maybe been pushed out, but just the real hardcore ones have. So it's sad.
I think
sad.
Saturday night is like ketamine night for those wackos.
So it's changed a lot?
Yes, it's a great deal in a very short period. And there is still a pub there, which I can't remember the name of that pub, but it says on it, you're local since 1893. That
is it the one?
Pretty much the same.
Is that the one? That's not the one on the corner down here.
Corner, not very far.
Okay.
Sort of towards Dank Street, maybe. But yes.
How good is it that there's a place called Dank?
Yeah. I knew you were going to say something.
Dank memes has made a comeback.
I went there because looking for Fratelli Fresh, but is that still there now?
What is that?
Mum, no one knows what that is.
I want to know. Fratelli Fresh.
No, I think it is still name. There. No, that was part of the gentrification. That sort of
the old mum
came
and
along with Hillsong on the corner. And
there's Hillsong in Redfern?
I think so, isn't it?
What?
It's near Dank Street.
Why would this place be fertile for Hillsong?
It probably is the birthplace for Hillsong. And
no,
just like
no,
wait
no,
away
no,
from
no, no, the birthplace from Hillsong was Castle Hill, not here, believe me.
Yeah, that's why it's called Hill, man.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure they had a huge meeting place right near Fratelli Fresh, probably in Dank Street.
Do you think, okay, to bring that into a broader question, do you think that is the inevitable, what is the word I'm looking for? God, I have no... Lithgow for like 3 months and my vocabulary disappears.
Drinks.
The fate. Fate. That's the word I was looking for. Fate. Really hectic.
What was just in mind over and over again?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, pretty much. Bring it back. It's not dying. Do you think that's the inevitable fate for Sydney?
Yes. Well, I really, if Redfern's gone, while I was here, that was all happening, though. Redfern was changing very rapidly because they were trying to take over Everleigh Street and Lewis Street for the building of flats, and it was very controversial at the time when I was here. It was very sad, actually. A lot of people being pushed out to Marrickville and surrounding areas, Mount Druitt.
Brutal.
That's not surrounding.
Yeah.
Well, no.
If I have an option,
it's surrounding Marrickville.
It is that. Yeah. It is that continual. Yeah.
Well, I mean, are being shoved away from Marrickville now, so yeah, I was actually gonna say, going to Mount Druitt.
Being pushed out to Marrickville, then like now they're probably like they're like it's like a gold mine, right?
Absolutely. Yes, that's right. I mean, where do they go? It's like also the western suburbs that lost their beautiful open market gardens that used to be out in the western suburbs, and now everything gets shipped in from Melbourne, and the people that used to be there, the European migrants and then the Asian people who took over those same farms, now have no place to grow fresh fruit and vegetables.
So this is why Jordan's so well informed and interesting. Everybody... This is the woman that raised him, that crafted him.
That's right.
This is now we see where it all comes
the
from.
The architect of
man,
utter
how perfect
disaster.
Is mum for AM radio.
I know. This is
people that rings him for 10 minutes a day, going, and where are they? Where are the farms now, John?
That's
you
me.
Raise a very good
hey,
point,
that's,
Deanna.
That's me. I would listen all day. No, it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, at the moment, I'm just looking for my mobile phone, which is in your pocket.
Actually, came in for the phone. This is so good. I hope so. The title for this podcast will. Jordan's mum dropped in, and I feel like it's going to have the most hits.
I picked him up
for good reason.
The airport, and somehow he's ended up with my mobile phone in your pocket. Have you?
No, I got nothing in my pocket.
Oh,
to be fair, Jordan's mobile phone might as well be like a piece of cardboard.
Yes,
anyway.
That's right.
It is a piece of cardboard. Jordan still carries around a
so
brick phone.
I wasn't by this morning that I saw this Fisher & Paykel toy phone. It was more advanced than mine. More futuristic. Yes. I feel like in Hobart,
more sounds. How incredible is that? It has one song.
But I feel like in Hobart, this is like the newest model of phone.
Yeah.
Goes,
yeah. You walk into Optus and it's just two tin cans with a string.
Tasmania communication. It's like only got to climb up a 4.3 meter hill to get some decent reception. Ahoy. It's so bad.
Stop.
So you don't have Jordan.
And,
why are you stealing
he
from
had
your mum?
No internet reception. I went to visit him in Lithgow for Easter.
Shout out Lithgow.
And he had no internet reception, so he was using my phone the whole time. I think he just got used to it and you popped it back in your pocket.
Did you end up coming to the Blue Fox, the fine establishment? Just a fine establishment that I've heard that is like Blue Fox something Cooper Street.
Yep. And we really wanted to go, and it was the one day you were
closed.
Not present. And I really was disappointed. I wanted to
I'm
go.
I'm so sorry.
It's a beautiful
Next time.
Building.
It is a beautiful building.
And
you'll have to come back.
It must be very pleasant.
No, it's
our
not.
Is there
Excuse me, the adults are talking.
Is there alfresco dining there?
Alfresco. I never actually knew it found out. What does that mean?
Oh, outside.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, there is. It's a lovely outdoor area with heaters. Oh. We have an outdoor and a little outdoor area at the front, out back and out front now. Wide variety. So.
Well, but at the front is the outdoor.
I'll FedEx you some lunch.
On the road. And and it looked like I wanted to go there and I was very disappointed, but then you went to the Easter show.
Yeah. Sucked in, audience. This is just a personal conversation now and you'll have to listen because that's all you get. You got nothing else in your life, so you're going to listen.
Don't pretend
show,
like you're going to switch away.
Yeah,
you're
don't
still
pretend,
there. You
don't
want to
pretend.
See how this ends.
The Easter show was lovely.
You're just lucky I've listened to every Joe Rogan podcast series.
The Easter show was lovely. We kind of went ironically at first, and then we were like, dog show, wood chopping, man from Snowy River, fireworks, warheads, showbags, food. So we actually loved it. It was lovely.
Did like Very the team good. From Tasmania beat everyone in every freaking farm sport that there was?
I don't really remember. I actually only saw a second of the Woodchuck. It was more
the
Dogs.
They were like the Australian cricket team in the 90s. I remember that. Tasmania used to kick New South Wales's ass in wood chopping.
Really? Dude, Tasmania still does it. I went to it like a couple of years ago. Like, people from Tasmania, they've got something going, man. Like, they can chop a tree like...
It's probably the cold air and apples. They eat
a cold air and apples.
It apple cider. They make apple
about
cider.
Very much happy.
Yeah, have cider has sugar in it, etc.
Firewood. That's for sure. That's why they're good at chopping.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't have many heaters. I was actually this. I will say, I was looking into Tasmania's economy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that place is not doing good at all.
Really? Please don't say it's like Perth. Except
I'll give you like.
Is their coal industry just taffy?
I'll give you one fact that will like literally make you guys cringe.
Oh, God.
Okay, so their biggest sector for their economy is, like, fishing, trade, and fur put together. The second biggest is social services. Dole is the second biggest sector. Like, I don't think we should be even laughing at this. There's, like...
Wait, the dole? That's not an industry. That's a government...
So many people are getting dole and are spending money that's the second biggest sector of economy.
I'm in the wrong state.
That's awesome.
How big's that dole? Do you get a house?
That's incredible. You get nothing, man. You literally, really? Like, it's just perpetual generation after generation.
Damn. Okay, well, did you experience... Well, Jordan just came back.
It seemed fine to me.
Well, the urban centres are doing mad. I should probably
get
point that out.
Get to the sticks.
Okay, so, because I was in the CBD... Mm-hmm. And the whole thing to me looked like Kangaroo Valley. It felt like a bunch of Sydney-siders that wanted a tree change. And so they went down to Hobart.
That is
filled with those kind of stories.
Hobart, Launceston, these urban centres are actually doing...
Don't know any others.
Don't know any others.
Hillside. I feel like that's one. I bet that's a place.
It has to be, right?
Town.
Cape Town. Georgetown.
George Costanzopoulos.
That's crazy. Well, but in terms of, I have to say, like, in terms of the Easter show, we watched, I'd never seen this before because I'd only realized this going last time. Every time I used to go to the Easter show, and I'm pretty sure you were the same, I'm just guessing, but this is all I would do is go in there, go on like a couple of rides, get one of those like hot dogs on a stick and a lemonade and just like pull incessantly on my mum's, shoulder or whatever, just being like, I want show bags now. And I would get to the show bags. Yeah, you know what's up. So I would go straight to the show bags thing, like pile up like on the poor. I'd always get like the sumo bag, which is like
that
you
is
know,
such an overrated bag.
No, you know what? I got it. It's the most economical bag if you like the economy of like, you know, grade of lollies that like I don't know. It would be rejected from the Vietnamese black market. Yeah, like really bad. Like not even flavors. It was like a thing. No flavor. It was like stuff. Eat it. It's cheap. So that's all I would do. And this time I was like, I went semi-ironically like,
we never got the Channel 7 bag?
No. Did you?
No.
Did you get the Channel
7? Yes.
You got the Channel 7 bag.
Because it came with a toy Channel 7 helicopter that's, you know, like it's been there for 20 years at the beginning of the news that goes ding, ding, ding.
It was a premonition to your career in media.
that's a difference amazing. Between an immigrant kid and someone who's lived here. He gets the non-flavored candy and you get this Channel 7 helicopter.
I'm not an immigrant. I was born in Sydney.
No, yeah. I mean, like your parents were immigrants though.
Your name's too.
That's what matters. You didn't buy it for yourself. Your parents bought it.
That's
for
true,
you.
But I'm pretty sure me and Jordan, like, I think our family are like from the same village or something.
No,
back
but like
in the old
his
country.
Parents are both from Australia. Like,
are you guys both Aussies?
Yeah.
Why were you adopted? How do you have the Croatianness?
Well, no, it's not. I was born here.
Okay.
Third generation.
Yeah.
Whereas you are like, we gotta save up, Miss Love.
Yeah.
Can you get the shit show back?
My parents were making sauerkraut in the garage. Yeah.
yes. Many of their jobs.
You went to.
Okay, go.
Yeah, I don't care, Jordan. You went to Karlovac.
Karlovac.
You did not go to Karlovac.
And I went there and I took a photo for Jordan to show you.
Holy, thanks for showing
and
me, Jordan.
I'll have to show you that photo. I've just forgotten.
Because Jordan,
you
does
really
not
went
have
to
a Karlovac. Phone.
Did Jordan? Did you? You went, didn't you, Jordan? Or did you not?
No, I just drove past it, and this actually happened.
We go to the outskirts of your city. We see a bunch of Soviet apartments with massive machine gun bullets. Okay, we'll just keep going.
You know what's really sad? That is, that town was on the front line in the Yugoslav war, and it's like, it's just literally just riddled with bullets. My like family holidays back in the day, I felt like it was in like Syria. It was brutal. But did you like the town apart from all the Soviet?
I went to the beer festival.
Dani Piva.
Yes.
Damn. How mad is it?
I just went to pick up my friends who got off the train, and we went there for about maybe an hour.
And it was the morning.
Hey. Yes, that's right. Yeah. All there was pretzels
and beer.
And beer.
Yeah.
And I was driving, so I had no beer.
So awesome and, you went to that.
They did have a beer and said it was very nice. My friends.
Karlovacko.
Yes, yep. Of course.
That's the town beer. Wow.
And yes, and we took a photo of our heads in one of those things where you put your head in with the big bosomed girl with the beer stein in one hand.
That's their style.
Yeah, that's it. Incredible. But it was very beautiful, the river.
The Rijeka.
It was very nice, and there was a lot of kids jumping off some large...
The diving boards into the river. The river's nice. It's one of those towns, like, I think of Karlovac as one of those towns, like... Mississippi in the 60s. It's like poor, nothing going for it, but the rivers are fun and the food's good. Yeah. That's sort of
sure it comes to life with the beer festival, but at the time we were there, it was probably 10 or 11 in the morning, and it was looking a bit dreggy from the night before. Not a lot going on. But I'm sure, I would have liked to have been there for the dancing and the singing and carry on.
Just go to any bar past 10 and you'll see that,
Okay. Well, it was good, but
weird, indiscriminate yelling, and then usually fists like. But that's why we love Eastern Europe. That's so cool.
Were you born there?
And I was born in the Sydney Royal North Shore Hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
and your mum's from near Opatija.
Sorry?
Near Opatija, is she?
No, they're both from Karlovac.
Oh, they?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're both from there.
Yeah.
No one knows any of those places.
Hey, this is it. This is the conversation.
It's all very beautiful.
This is conversation FM.
Phone, so can you double check your
phone? I love this. Is doing this. See, this is double the same check. Double check. Again. It's so good. It's so good.
I'm getting freaked.
This is the best pod we've ever done. This has been awesome. You're an absolute champion. Just keep looking for it. I'm sure he stole it. He has a Nokia. He has a Nokia.
To the car. And when you're ready to come out, I'll be there.
Why are you moving away from the mic? And it's got a very big reach as well.
I love this so much. I love this so much. You may think you're an adult, but your mom's got you back.
Last thing I intended to do.
Hey, when are you going back? When are you leaving? Are you leaving Sydney soon?
I'm going probably in about 3 days. But I wish I could go up. I think I'm going to go back to... How long are you going to be up there?
He's here for a week.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Mum. Pretty busy.
We'll have you. Come stay at our place.
I'm going to stay with Miss Lab.
Damn right.
Blue Fox Cafe. Yes. Coffee, I hear. I can't wait to stay there and have some of the beautiful food that I know of. Shout out to Zach.
Zach.
Relative and someone you know.
Oh, and now it's all come together.
Yeah.
Zach, music?
Yeah, just later.
Music? Yes. Well, we just set it on. Okay.
This podcast is brought to you by Blue Fox Cafe in association.
Are you the editor? Can you please edit out a bit there,
please? I don't think I'm going to edit out anything because I think this might just be the best pod ever.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks so much. You're the best. Jordan, I love your family.
What is it with old people and turning radio into AM instantly?
What is with that your mum being the coolest mum ever? And, that's all I got. Coolest mum ever.
Oh, I don't know. Don't you think Sigourney Weaver would be a pretty cool mum?
Who's that? Oh, yeah. Kind of scary. Can you imagine? Good night. That's a chick from Alien, right?
Yeah, but she's the good... She wasn't an alien. I don't know why you're hissing.
She was in one of them.
Yeah, I know, but she's...
She was the alien.
Good guy.
No. Yeah, in the later one. You have not watched all of them. Yeah, I got you on this one, believe me.
Dude, have you seen part two?
No, I'm serious. It's like seven aliens.
Up to Alien Resurrection, you are unemployed.
Well, sure. Actually, that is true because I haven't watched it up to that one. So,
Someone's employed.
Can we all just reflect on how hilarious? I think that was. Can we just give that a round of applause? How awesome is Jordan's mom? And how hilarious to see Jordan still, you know, holding the front and being charismatic, charming, and politically informed with his mum going, "Have you got my phone live on a
And whilst
anybody else, anybody else in the world would have crumbled. They would have hit the pause button. We're like, mum, I told you. But he just went on with it. And not only did he go along with it, he's made some great radio.
So damn right.
And now we got a clean slate. We can start from. There's the content part out of the way.
That was all you know, Miss Love.
Me.
You kept that going.
I just like your mum. And also, like, I feel like she's got a lot of lessons that we can learn from about, like, urban renewal, morals, ethics, and, like,
where she's been, which is essentially just watching a slideshow, except for talking without the slides.
She's an interesting woman. And also, like, I think she's,
good follow-up.
I think she's, I think she kind of enjoys trolling you a bit. That was a troll. That was
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she had the phone in her pocket.
Yes. All right, I think we're running out of time. Let's talk about North Korea. Let's go on to it.
Oh, who cares? Okay.
I want to talk about the sumo bag.
Yeah, okay. This actually worked out really well because we had no segments. So thanks, George's mom. But, what's her name again? I always forget her name.
Every time I say it, you go, "Don't say it on air."
Oh, okay, don't worry about it then.
Anna.
Well, what's wrong with
So, and now the Pepe the Frog role returns to the rightful owner.
Okay. The ultimate troll. Here's your phone. North Korea.
Yeah. So my brother's in Seoul right now. And
the Seoul of Asia, is actually their advertisement tag. Very creative.
Yeah, they tried to. That's definitely what I would use if I was in charge of that board. I'd be like, "It's just too good not to use."
the answer has been in front of us all along.
You just wanted to go to lunch. That is the only reason why you would put that.
It's true.
He's like, I've got the best idea, and who's treating me for this? Seoul is the soul of Asia.
Yeah, because Koreans are too polite to disagree. They'll just nod, and that'd be it.
I swear they go like that when they... And the theme song...
This guy is retarded.
And the song definitely has to go... Like, the theme song for the ad campaign is definitely... "I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm..."
So that was your question about North Korea.
No. My brother's in Seoul, and he's gone to Japan for a while. And as every good concerned brother would do,
he's got yellow fever, doesn't he?
No. I stayed up till I have stayed up till the early hours of the morn after work in my bed watching Alex Jones and Gavin McInnes discuss the fate of North Korea, USA, South Korea, texting my brother, being like, "Hey man, maybe leave soon because it's going to get nuked really soon. Just take care of yourself." So I was just interested to see your take on. Obviously, Alex Jones is going to be a very, it's not going to be a subtle opinion on the matter. But I'd be interested to know what your informed opinion would be, both of yours.
North Korea. So.
I've watched a lot of docos on it, and it is a pretty scary, strange place, North Korea.
I'll be honest. Did you just watch Vice?
No, I watched Vice and like two more other ones.
Vice one and the SBS one before they were Vice.
Pretty much.
Okay. North Korea. So, dude, okay. How much time do we have? I'll quickly do this.
Whatever. I don't think anyone's coming.
All right. Okay. Listen.
Jordan, you call it when you have to go. You know?
Yeah. North Korea and South Korea after the Korean War.
I know about the history. Yeah.
So, and.
As I go
on.
No.
What I'm trying to say is that I know that you know that both of them were together at one point. But what's interesting is that North Korea was actually doing better than South Korea initially. The difference between both of them was that because Korea is actually quite a poor place, like there's not much natural resources, the weather conditions are mountainous. Bad. So Koreans always wanted to be self-reliant. That was like a massive thing that they wanted to do.
Junche.
Yeah, is that... I don't know.
That's what the North Koreans use, but it's evolved over time, much like in Animal Farm where they keep rewriting the 10 laws overnight.
Right, yeah.
So Junche now basically means, hey, if the government can't afford to do anything, just, you know, use some bubble gum to sear your metal sheets together.
Yeah, which is what they actually did. So initially, after the Korean War, North Korea did better because they wanted to pursue the self-reliance policy, and they actually industrialized faster and better than South Korea. But what happened was eventually you reach a dead end. No, yeah. The dictatorship was there from the beginning.
Oh, but,
like,
really?
You eventually reach a dead end where like you can't just depend on isolation.
So they really locked themselves off in terms of a global economy.
Yeah, they locked themselves off and they did it purposefully, which was like a bad decision now, but like it's very hard for them to go back. But
it's a good idea.
I'm joking. No, initially it was. Like, you want to be self-reliant in a sense. South Korea decided that, screw this. We're just going to, like, export everything. We're going to make shit. And now South Korea is, like, one of the richest places in the world, and North Korea is one of the poorest places. But the problem is now they have set themselves up in a way where they are actually self-reliant in a horrible way, but North Korea still can manage themselves in a way, which makes it very difficult for outside powers to actually crumble the regime because there's not much that you can take away from them that's going to kill them.
So they're going to be there in 1,000 years from now?
No, not necessarily. It's
continue.
Well, right now, it could crumble, but it's sort of difficult for it to crumble unless there's some outside intervention. China wants North Korea not to dissemble at all. What they want is North Korea to make some changes, including getting rid of the nukes. But they don't want this regime to change, because what they fear is that eventually it'll be like Syria, where everyone's just gonna, like, there'll be a proxy war here, like there was initially. So they have good reasons to think that as well, and it's gonna spill over into China. So China does not want North Korea to crumble, but they want to make changes.
But weren't China essentially, from my like Alex Jones informed perspective, it was like Trump being like, "I'll take care of it," whatever that means, and China being like, "Don't worry, we'll take care of it."
No, because look, China recognizes that this is a problem where North Korea is being unreasonable and they're going insane, but that doesn't mean that China wants.
Yeah, I know.
The North Korean status. What they want is, like, they want some concessions. So they're, like, looking for evolution within the North
Korean
state.
Give me some possible outcomes. What do you think will happen? Give me three plausible outcomes or, like, predictions.
Of what? Of war?
Well, no.
What's the future of North Korea?
Yeah, yeah.
One prediction is that China manages to convince them to slowly get rid of their nuclear program, eventually open up the economy. That's the best case scenario, and it's also plausible.
Yeah.
The second case is that there's an outside intervention where they're attacked, which means that eventually the state is the regime might go away. There might not be a nuclear war, although that is also possible. But there might not be a nuclear war. But what's going to result is that place will be in utter chaos, and South Korea will be affected badly, which means that the world economy could also be affected. The third outcome is like a Soviet-style implosion, where the state within itself, without any external forces, just freaking implodes, which is what everyone would want except for China.
South Korea wouldn't want it either.
South Korea wouldn't want it either because it affects them. Next door.
Yeah, but okay. But I guess what I'm more curious about is, so obviously North Korea, you know, proclaims these kind of crazy threats and these crazy ideas and all these sort of propaganda. Do you think, I feel like what's his face, Kim Jong, just really wants to fire a nuke? Do you think they'll blow?
No, he doesn't want to fire a nuke. What he wants to do is he wants to make sure that everyone understands that you cannot get rid of me. And if you get rid of me, then I can do anything. He understands that if he fires a single nuke, his whole country will become
he's not that insane.
He's not retarded.
Yeah, he's not retarded.
But he is dumb. Mm. Well, but he's not crazy, and that's what you need to launch a nuke.
Yeah.
Because even a 5-year-old could understand.
Yeah, that, you know, that, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty lose-lose.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because it's so...
And I don't think that Kim Jong-un is particularly that powerful after the change. No. I think it's just the military around him.
Right.
You can see how weathered and fossilized all the generals look, that's where the real power is. Yeah, and how fresh his face is.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to
keep is the baby from Spirited Away.
He looks like that. He definitely. He looks like when he's. Yeah, that's
because and all of the generals do look like his witch of a mother. Yeah. They definitely do.
So you think it'll be a situation? Well, actually, it could be any of those.
I don't think that they'll actually change automatically. Because
do you think this will just? Do you think this will just continue? And it'll be one of those things where if it does continue, it'll just be a mainstay. Because if they are self reliant, if let's say the USA just kind of lets them be. Will it be like the least dramatic outcome, which will be just the status quo and like them sort of, like you said, crumbling on their own or just weakening and then maybe sort of integrating to a world economy eventually?
Well, that's the hope. But the problem is that people that are actually in power in North Korea at the moment are not set in a way that everyone else is benefiting and they are too. Those are the sort of situations where you want to change. They're in a situation where they're the only ones that have immense amount of power, and any change to the system will affect them directly, and they're clearly not going to have the same amount of power that they have. They're like they're bosses, like they're dictators of the region. So what you must understand, the people that are in power have all the reason for the system not to change, which is why they always make threats like, we're going to bomb you. It's a show of strength, not just externally, but also internally to their own people that don't try to mess with us. Like, we're literally picking a fight with the U.S.
I have a more philosophical question then in that regard. What, like, obviously a healthy, you know, prosperous country is an advantageous situation to have when you're in government. I mean, it makes you more prosperous. It makes the country, but like, what is the desire for the generals or the military or in that for the, any military of the world that is in control of a country for that matter,
mm-hmm.
To do that? Like their fellow man is dying. North Koreans are starving to death. Why, like, is it just ego? Is it power for the sake of power? Why would you want to have a insanely powerful military with, like, villagers dying by your side? Like, for what?
3 words. 1,000 women harem.
is that like a quote is that from a Zelda? Is that a Zelda quote?
What?
What are you talking? 1,000 women harem. What's harem?
Harem.
Harem, sorry.
What's that, money?
No, oh, like a...
It's what comes after.
You're not talking about the 70. You're not talking about the 70.
That's the best way to describe a harem.
You're not talking about 72 virgins after you die.
Well, if they were all in one house,
dude, while you're alive,
that isn't.
They've cracked it. That's what I'm saying. Men will kill themselves for 72 virgins. Kim Jong-un has 1,000.
Are you saying they're
doing... I'd keep a whole nation in a hermit state for 106 years for that.
You're saying pussy.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what...
What?
What an answer to a philosophical... I don't think it's true, but like...
No, it is. No. It is.
But
it
absolutely pussy. Is. But explain. No, okay,
okay. Please, I don't know if Kim Jong-un has it. He probably does, but Kim Jong-il definitely had 1,000 of the hottest chicks in Korea. And as we all know, Koreans are the...
For you.
Yeah, for me especially, but just in terms of Asian I'm sure
they're
chicks,
they are beautiful. They are beautiful. The yep. Yeah, yeah.
So he's got 1,000 of them. You know, okay, look up Girls' Generation if you're a guy. And a girl, you can sit there and begrudgingly be like, yeah, but they fake, but whatever, just look it up.
Yeah.
Look up Girls' Generation and tell me that you wouldn't do that for 1,000 of them. It's just 9 of them.
Like, I get it. No, I get that, but...
What
like,
you need to understand is that from their perspective, they don't think that they're evil. They think that they're doing very good. Not necessarily because of the 1,000 chicks, but what they think... So,
it's probably definitely like, maturity on top, at least.
I get it. Yeah, that would play an element. I do.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's a sick life.
Open-legged... Just waiting for you to come home. Like, which one foist? I get it.
It's human behavior. What you do is...
train of six.
But
your behavior is informed by your personal interests, right? Whatever you require at that point. The thing is that often people that are in power then try to portray their own interest as the greater good, and so they'll come out with some rationale.
So it's the old power corrupts.
What they'll say is that we're the only country in the world that has the balls to stand up to
the
capitalist. They'll come up with their own thing.
So it's just power corrupts. It's the old power corrupts.
Yeah, the power corrupts and a different way of looking at it. That's why I'm saying that that's why I started with like the Korean War, because they've always pursued this theory of self-reliance, that now they're like literally 50 years ahead, and it'll be very difficult for them to say, you know what, the last 50 years, very sorry about that.
I get that.
Totally wrong. Actually, trading is awesome. So it's like it'll take a long time unless an external force or internal implosion kills it.
That's a sensible answer, and not the one that Alex Jones gave me, but which very was sensible, which was tomorrow it could be dust. We don't know, people. Get in your bunkers. Tomorrow it might be nuclear war, and you know, we've got top priority people in agency in the FBI, and I've done research. I'm not bragging, but I've done research, and you know, tomorrow North Korea, Pyongyang could be dust. And I was like, shit. Next, like,
he is predicting nuclear war on a bi-monthly basis.
Yeah, you got to give it to him. It's like, I guess he's got the he's looking out for the people in saying that. He's not like nuclear woo. He's like scared for the people.
Doesn't he look like the Texan Kim Jong-un?
He kind of does.
Stupid hair. It's always waving up and down when he gets passionate.
Dude, I wouldn't actually. So I wouldn't like. I wouldn't actually just say that. That's stupid. A major war could happen.
Really?
The current conditions that we have right now are almost identical to the ones that had before.
Cold War, right?
No, the First World War, or what it was known as back then, the Great War.
It's so scary.
Same sort of situations. We've got the same sort of power structures now.
Okay.
The same sort of technological improvement that's leaving a lot of people workless.
If that does happen, is the situation America blows them up? Because Russia doesn't have a hand in this, do they? Russia has no interest in North Korea.
No, of course.
Yeah, they're very close.
No, they're
what? Yeah, and how? Yeah, what is their bullshit? They're really close.
What they wouldn't want North Korea to disintegrate either.
Map. Tell me more about this.
What do you mean? What do you? I'm not talking about the geography or whatever. I'm talking.
No, but they wouldn't want it either. They wouldn't want to. They wouldn't like America to.
No. But I'm saying North Korea isn't like Syria, where Russia has ties to the Assad, and America bombing Syria inextinctively, like a proxy war, pushes Russia.
True.
It's not like that.
North Korea comes into the Chinese domain, and Russians have accepted that. But it's.
I'm saying Russia is on America. I'm pretty sure Putin would be like Russia is politically on America's side with it. I don't think they'd be like, hey, they got some good ideas. Giant empty cities.
The whole world is stressed out about the fact that a country that could disintegrate, because nobody knows exactly what's happening within them, could disintegrate, also possesses nuclear weapons. They're actually not that afraid of Kim Jong-un using the nuclear weapons. What they're afraid of is tomorrow this country disintegrates, then whatever forces that come into power will possess nuclear weapons, and who knows what the fuck they will be like.
Oh, damn. Just K-pop people. Blow it up!
Yeah.
What? Just an army of guys doing K-pop being like
yeah. And it is so much cooler if the feared dictator of the world is called G-Dragon.
Would you guys ever go to North Korea, given the chance? On one of those guided tours, blah, blah, blah. Would you go?
No, there's no point of going on that guided tour. Maybe.
Wait, you wouldn't go because it's not dangerous enough.
It is amazing.
Yeah, you're not seeing the real thing.
This guy wants to say that. So would you go if someone was like, dude, I can get you in the real deal? And like,
yeah, I'd be more interested in that.
Isn't that... Damn.
Would you
respect.
Be?
Yeah.
What the hell? I wouldn't want to do it. Dude, they like arrest you for coughing.
Dude, I want to work because for Vice. Yeah. And like, I want to go to like ISIS territory.
No, dude.
That's why I'm doing this podcast.
No, No, don't, like, irrelevant of the whole Vice thing, like, in your own, I'm not talking about, like, investigative journal, for yourself, would you be interested? Would you want to go?
No, yeah, I'd genuinely be interested.
Would you?
If it was the back tour, no, because I can imagine that the rest of my life I'd be in a forced labour camp, yes, being kept up all night having to say, Kim Jong-un can't talk to the animals, over and over again.
My brother wanted to go.
No, but I'd do some research before doing it.
No, my brother wanted to go this time because he's in South Korea. And, like, I more didn't want him to go because when he went to Japan, I saw footage of him and his mates literally skating around the streets in Japan and, like, jumping on their skateboards going, ugh, and breaking them in front of Japanese people, like, just to make them be like, yeah, I rocked your world, right? And they politely just kind of, like, walk around them. I'm like, that's not going to fly in Pyongyang, bro. They'll throw you in prison. That's not going to fly.
Well, it depends on, like, how you do it, because I don't think even North Koreans will just throw anyone into prison.
Dude, they threw away an American tourist for stealing...
An American. That's the key word here.
Well, do you reckon? I think the West is their enemy, not
America.
They
don't really have a beef with Australia. Bigger fish to fry.
Yeah,
really?
And I can pretend to be like... I can pretend
to
be...
bigger countries than
no,
us.
But like, I thought they just...
I thought Newcastle was the epicenter of the world.
No, and I can pretend to be like...
Which steel country that is. No, but
Iran or something. And I don't think they'll have a lot of issues with that.
I just thought I'd see a white guy and be like, Diddy Mao, Diddy Mao.
Which is Vietnamese, but okay.
Shame shit. interesting. All right, well, you've informed me, so I don't have to freak out too much.
Oh, can we please have a Mario Kart character called Diddy Mao?
Well, so...
Get on it, Nintendo.
You've given me some closure. It is interesting.
No, by the way, I'm not saying that a war couldn't happen. I'm just saying that you don't know. Because, like, okay, the First World War started with some dude getting shot.
Yeah, Franz, what's his name, Ferdinand. Okay,
yeah.
Give me a hypothetical.
God, how good would it be if it was Mike Tyson that got shot?
This is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, he's still alive. He didn't die either. It was just in the leg. And it's like, it's very painful to walk on. That's my nukes flirt.
Okay, hypothetical.
That's the end of the world.
Hypothetical, because I don't know much about that stuff, and this is such a 13-year-old thing to say, but hypothetical, nuclear war starts, what would the world be like? Because it wouldn't just be the world would be atomized.
So
I think
it probably wouldn't start with nuclear war. What you'll eventually have is, firstly, there'll be alliances that would form. Most likely, the scenario would be that
North Korea,
China,
and
Russia...
Borneo. Yeah.
North Korea and Borneo.
China and Russia would go against America. China and Russia would go against America, I thought.
China, Russia would go against America.
Really?
The battleground would be Asia. India would be siding with America. Pakistan would be siding with China.
What? Why would Russia... What? So is the Cold War still on? I thought Russia and America were fucking all gravy. Why would they join forces? What interest
do
they...
Russia and America are gravy.
Yes. I thought, like... Trump got in and they're all buddies now.
No, dude. Damn. That's what I was trying to say. I was telling Jordan before Trump came in that soon, you will see that Trump will have a fight with Putin. Because it's eventually, it depends, it all rests on the interest of the countries, what they want.
What does Russia... I understand that America have military...
What Russia believes is that they've had, after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia's always believed to be a great power in the world, right? To match America, not just be like... And what they believe is that after the Soviet Union, we were dealt a very bad hand. America took over the entire Europe, and we got a shit deal.
So they're basically Georgia. Still bitter. They're still bitter.
That's why they're taking Crimea. That's why they're trying to expand. That's why they're
bitter.
Fighting over Ukraine, because
they
went
Chechnya.
All the way up until East Germany. That's what Russia thinks it deserves.
Well, I mean, I know it's not good and bad, because I know it all does come down to perspective. And if you look at human rights, you know, abuses and invasions and wars, America's number one by fucking far, and they've killed a lot of people. And they're an imperialist society.
Mm-hmm.
But does it just come down to where they're all trying to grab the pie, and it's essentially someone has to be holding the most, otherwise it's chaos? Because I understand. You know, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
no, I know what you're
saying. Like, America's like, we want world peace, whatever the hell they say. Probably they want to hold their parts of the world, their
exactly.
fucking sanctions. But is that not a good thing? I mean, is that?
I don't think it's a good thing. Actually, Chomsky probably said it the best. Like,
Ali, what's the answer to world peace? That's what I'm asking. Jesus, just tell me.
Chomsky was saying the other day on Democracy Now! With, what's her name? Amy Goodman.
Amy Goodman.
Like, Well, actually, Trump, when he was about to come into power, the only sensible thing that he ever said is the one that's actually being picked on. I mean, if you look at Ukraine and the NATO army maneuvers, this is quite a catastrophic situation. We could lead into a nuclear war. So essentially,
so you're saying
Chomsky's also arguing that America needs to give some leeway because this could escalate pretty
badly. That's what I would say. Yeah. It's weird. It's like, so what would it take for Russia to be cool with America, or is it they just want ultimate power and they're not going to be cool until they're the world power?
No. They want Europe.
Or do they just want a fair chunk?
They want Europe. That's what they want.
They want
That's
France? What do you mean they want Europe?
They want influence in France. They want all of East Europe.
Is that fair? Would you want that? For world peace, for stability?
For world peace? Look, man, because I've pretty much lost my morals when it comes to this. So the one thing that I want is for peace to sustain, right?
That's what I would
want. And right. So if America can pretend to be, if America can actually be the boss of the region and maintain peace, I'm fine with that. But if I see another country like Russia that's growing, what I'm seeing is, man, that a smaller power is slowly growing in China and Russia, reaching to a level where they'll look at America eye to eye and say, I don't like this deal. Let's redeal this whole hand because we aren't what we were when you set these cards up.
So,
and America going, no, fuck you.
Yeah, but are you saying, okay, does America, at this point, ideally, does America have to have a stranglehold on the world for there to be world peace?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jordan's answering.
In a sense, yes.
Because,
look, the thing is, as long as they can, it's a very difficult situation accommodating someone else onto the table. Like, it's easier said than done. You would want someone like, okay, so what happens is that when you were a kid, right, when you and your brothers were like little, your dad would call the shots. There would be peace in house because there was someone who would say, shut the fuck up.
That's what I'm saying. So
but when you started growing,
then you make your own decisions and
you
tensions.
Start make your own decisions and then you eventually lead to a point where there might be friction. Now, your dad could be really cool and accommodate you, but let's recognize the fact that that is a difficult thing to do.
So you're essentially pro-America just to keep shit chilled.
No, I am, because that's going to lead to eventual disaster. You're saying in an ideal situation, would you prefer the post-Second World War structure of things? I would. But now that China and Russia are growing, I want America to understand where they can give concessions.
Right.
So that we don't end up in a state of war. Because if America resists, like the way, by the way, England and America did during the Second World War, we'd have another Hitler who would like try to take away power from you.
So, wait, but that was a contradiction. You're saying if America doesn't intervene, there'll be Hitler, but if they intervene too much...
No. What do you mean intervene?
Like, you're saying hold the sovereignty of Europe, stuff like
you
that.
You need to know when you can intervene, like when you can maintain your presence, and you need to know when you can't do it. I think America needs to understand.
So it's just a game of chess.
It's a game of chess. So you need to make sure that you play your tricks right.
Mm.
And you also need to understand that some of your soldiers are going to be beaten. There's no point trying to protect everything. You can't keep the chessboard the way it is. There's others. They're marching ahead, right? So you just need to like maneuver around it.
It's so strange because I get what you're saying. So ideally, to maintain world peace in terms of longevity, you would say America essentially has to know when to allow Russia to have their piece of the pie, and Ukraine might have been that. I know we're talking about this like goddamn globalist, like taking Ukraine means lots of people dying. I'm not just like, yeah, take a country.
No, it doesn't have to be. There's only dying when you resist.
But yeah, so I'm saying like America should just be like, yeah, have do you think America's being too harsh with Russia in terms of what they're allowing them to?
Well, I understand where they're coming from. I'm not saying that they're being completely unreasonable. But they need to understand, for the greater good, certain concessions will need to be made.
And
in Europe, maybe not as much in Europe, but more so in Asia Pacific when it comes to China.
That's fair. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Do you think So if there was a scenario, if there was a scenario where America made, let's say, through their initiatives or whatever, they give Russia more leeway,
mm-hmm.
there's a chance that Russia wouldn't side with China in terms of politics and...
No, they will. Oh, they won't be best buddies with America ever, but they're less inclined to go to, like, try to, like, fuck with you.
Or do you reckon Russia looks at China and go, these guys have got the future, I'm going with them?
Russia looks... They wish they could be China. As in, like, because China is just getting... Like, Russia, the problem with Russia is...
It's freezing, it's big, there's not a big population.
But also their economy isn't doing that great.
Yeah.
Well, like, compared to China, which is doing exceptionally well.
Yeah. So, and do you think someone like Trump is a bad thing in that regard? Because
that was the one thing that I liked about Trump. Because I was like, fucking hell, finally someone is... I hate this obsession with Russia in America.
I know, yeah.
But
what did you like about him? What?
The fact that he was saying that we don't need to fight with Putin. Putin is not a good man.
Thank you. He's of course not a good man.
Yeah, but nobody is.
Exactly, nobody is. And
nobody
like,
is.
So in that sense, Trump... Maybe he will be like just. I'm not like saying isolationism is good, mm-hmm. but a touch of it. Being like, yeah, let's not constantly have our fingers in other people's affairs.
Yeah, because what that means is that. What does that lead to? Not constantly being. America needs to be constantly like in affairs because it is to an extent. But what being isolationist in this sense means is that Russia you're grows. Allowing room for them to take a bigger space at the table.
That's a good thing for the world.
For the Pentagon, it's not. For the world, yes, it is.
What do you mean for the Pentagon?
Hence, you see this anti-Russia bullshit on every channel.
Damn, so you are on my page with that at least. Yeah,
I've always been on that page, yeah.
I mean, the Pentagon, like, I'm sorry, but America's security isn't necessarily the world's security. If they need to give a little bit of room for, like, someone like Russia to move to, you know...
But the other side of the story is, if they do that, Western Europe will be very pissed off at them. Because Western Europe, England, France, Germany...
Because they're allies.
What they're seeing is... Yeah, they're allies. And what they're seeing is that Russia's moving more towards them in terms of influence. So they're going to be like, hey, America, I thought we had a deal. We're going to keep these guys at bay. Didn't you have my back?
So Is Russia as fascist as North Korea?
No.
Okay, is he as bad as Assad? What's his face? Putin?
Putin? I don't think he's as bad as Assad. He hasn't been in the same position as Assad has been.
The only thing I've seen from Russia is like, yeah, that you know, he's ex-KGB, no one else is going to get voted in, and the working class are like really poor.
No, what you need to understand is that Putin is a very popular man in Russia.
Well, then what the hell's so bad? Why do people hate him? Like, why is his influence that bad? I don't think they want to fucking... take over the world.
They just don't like Russia's influence anywhere. Why? They're like their arch enemies. They're in two separate sides of the globe.
That ended, man.
Look, they're both competing for influence of the world, right? So they're not going to like each other. As soon as, like, let's say if I was like, let's say you and I were best friends, right? And then you were doing a gig.
No, I know.
And then I decided to do a gig at the same time at a different location.
Mm.
I don't think we would be very good friends because you'd be like, man, can you like not do it at the same time? So they're both fighting for the same thing.
I get it, but it's almost philosophical. It's really tough. Yeah, I think Jordan's gone too. I don't know. We might have to stop this. I think he just left. But
what time is it?
8:20.
Well, he was supposed to leave by 8:30. So
nah, he's probably around. He's probably just. I think he's on the phone. But no, we'll finish it up. But I just want to. I'm not trying to cut you off. It's so interesting. It's just like. It's frustrating because I try to look at... I'm trying now in my ripe old age of 27 to look at the bigger picture of things, go past rhetoric and the personality politics, all this crap. I'm not even looking at, like, policies anymore. I'm just looking at, like, almost broader philosophical ways of interpreting how countries interact and what will preserve world peace. And it's like, you've sort of answered it, but at the same time, you've just been like, what your answer is, it's a play-by-play thing. You have to play the shots well. I mean, there's so much. That's never going to work out because there's always inconsistencies.
That's why you need the right people at the job.
But even the right people.
There's no other way, man. There's no formula that you can give out and say, like, if you follow this, you will maintain
peace. I understand that, but it's frustrating because even the right people won't necessarily do it because the right people...
True.
The right people, you know... you might have the right person, but they're dealing with a person that's not the right person. So even that relationship isn't going to work. So it's like, it's almost like there's no hope.
The job of a leader is to make it work. Yeah, it's true. It's a very difficult thing, man. Like,
I do respect, I did really respect Obama for being such a centrist because that is the hardest thing to do.
It's very difficult.
And I respect him heaps for that.
Yeah, because it's very difficult to tell everyone that, no, I'm not going to intervene in Syria when every freaking news outlet, everyone's just saying, like, America is losing. Including, by the way, your allies like Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all of them are literally calling Obama pussy. They hate Obama, man, because he never...
Fuck Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he fucks Saudi Arabia.
I hate them so much. Okay,
call them an intellectual who didn't do action.
Yeah, these dudes sitting on oil... Just living it up. No care for their citizens or any rights. I don't hear their opinion. So the answer is there is no real answer. It's essentially luck. Good luck to us.
Yeah, it all depends on events. But Russia's playing a very sophisticated game, man.
That sucks.
Russia is actually... Because Putin is very intelligent. He actually does play the game like a chessboard. So he looks at the very big picture.
I don't know. I've heard Putin speak. I tell you what, I've heard him speak about globalism and postmodernism, and I've heard him speak about culture and history. And he's not a dumb person, dude.
No, absolutely.
Really,
not.
He is. I mean, maybe someone wrote his speech for him.
That's why people say that he's ex-KGB, because that tells you that this guy knows exactly how to maneuver these chess moves. Because he's spent much time in intelligence.
But that's agency. Every leader, man, apart from Australia, because we all just love swilling, drinking beer and shit.
Obama is very different from if he had spent a lot of time in CIA.
No, I get
Intelligence agencies work very differently.
I get what you're saying, but... we'll have to continue it. It's almost like a philosophical conversation on world peace and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, we should continue it after because I hate squabbling over the petty things. I think it's always getting to the bigger picture. But if it is just a game of chess and a lot of luck, then it's like, maybe I'll just stop thinking about it.
Fair enough. Maybe that's a good point to end the pod.
Yeah. Well, I think Jordan's gone. He has to press the space bar, so I'll do that now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Would you move over space bar?
Yeah. Would you say that's a good way to think about it? Just don't think about it because it's just essentially.
Yeah. If it's freaking you out, then don't think about it. I like to think about it.
It's not freaking me out. It's just frustrating.
Well, it's very frustrating. Dude, international diplomacy is extremely frustrating. And on that very positive note, we bid the audience farewell.
I'm going to play a gig tonight. I'm playing the Lady Hampshire with Particles, so I'm going to get out of here.
Forest Hall Live. Please check out Forest Hall on YouTube and iTunes and any...
Forest Hall EP dropping soon, and I've got another one coming, so you're going to hear a lot more about it.
Exactly, and I hope you still have stuck around, so please check out Holsworthy Live as well.
We'll be more coming. Thanks,
guys. Thank you very much. Bye.
See you later.